I'm so glad everyone came today. God is just so good, isn't he? And we're just going to praise him today. And how many kids have we got here today? How many kids have we got here today? Are you guys? Ed? We got Ed. Count Mark. Okay. About 8 or 10. Hey, can you guys come up? Can you guys come up here? Stay up. You guys, all the kids. Oh, you guys come up here for a minute. You guys come up. Look at they're hesitant. They're like, what's going on? Spread out now. You guys can spread out. I can come down there, but I'd be off camera, but that's okay. Okay, I'm gonna come down here because I'll be off video, but they can hear me still. Is that okay if I come down here? Come down here. Where's the rest of them? We're waiting on them. Get up here. Man, we got a lot of kids here today. Man, I've missed you guys. Remember when we used to gather around the altar and pray? You guys miss that? Wasn't that a wonderful time? Man, I miss that. And so I wanted to do something special for you guys today, and I wanted to talk to you about what I'm going to be speaking to the adults about later on in my sermon. So I wanted to share a little bit with you about what I'm going to talk about, okay? And so, you know, God expects us to bear fruit. Do you know what that means? Who likes fruit? You like to eat fruit? Who likes fruit? You guys do? What kind of fruit do you like? What's your favorite? Bananas? Oh, I love bananas. What about peaches? You like peaches? Yeah, I got some peaches right here. I got one right here. See that? Man, isn't it pretty? Right now, man, they're so good. Man, they're so good. You guys have peaches? Anybody want a peach? You guys don't want a peach? No? Man, they're so good. You guys want a banana? Who wants a banana? Okay. Let me grab a banana. Who wants a banana? Here. Catch. Now, don't drop it. You got to pick it up. Come on. What about you, Jay? You want a banana? I got another one in here. Here. Good. Good. Okay. You want one too? Okay. Okay. I got another one. Here. All right. Okay. You know, there were in the Bible, there was a man that had a fig tree. And he planted his in his vineyard, and he went out to look for fruit on it. But he did not find any fruit. And so he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found anything." So he told him, he said, "Just cut the tree down. Just cut it down. And why should it use up my garden? Why should it use up my soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then I'll cut it down." That's in Luke 13. You know, and just like I was pretending I had fruit, we all have our favorite fruits, right? But do you know how they grow? You know, right now, it's peach season, so the orchards are growing fruit, right? So, but do you think it just happens overnight? It doesn't? So, what happens if you plant plants or you plant a tree and you take care of it and you plant flowers and you wait and you wait and you wait and it doesn't have any flowers on it? That's kind of disappointing, isn't it? Yeah, and you waited all this time for the plant to grow and then it doesn't have any flowers. You know, in our Bible lesson today, Jesus told a story about a man who planted a fig tree in his garden. You know what fig trees are? You know, you ever had fig Newtons, little cookies? You guys don't know what those are, do you? I feel really old now. You know, but after some time had passed, he went to look for some fruit and on the tree, but there was none. That'd be disappointing, wouldn't it? After waiting all that time. And after a year, he watched the tree, but the tree never produced any fruit. And finally, the man went to the gardener who took care of the tree and said to him, "You know, it's been 3 years. And I've been looking for this fruit." And he told him to cut it down. That was pretty crazy, wasn't it? That's pretty crazy, isn't it? In telling the story, Jesus was really talking about us and about God, okay? And God has planted us, each and every one of us. That's in you too. You know, some of us are little sprouts, and some of us are big sprouts, and some of us are just old weeds, right? No. But, you know, He planted each and every one of us, and He expects all of us to produce good fruit in our lives. And what kind of fruit does He expect out of you? What do you think He expects? Good fruit? Sour fruit? Bad fruit? No fruit? Good fruit. Good fruit, right? Okay. When He looks at the way we live our lives, He wants us to see things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness. And you know, there are times when He's kind of disappointed in us too, because we don't always do things exactly the right way, do we? Sometimes we mess up, don't we? But you know, God loves us, and He wants to give us time, just like the gardener said, just give me some more time. That's what God wants to do with us. He gives us more time. And our Heavenly Father, we know that, you know, He expects good things from us, but He helps us live a life that will be pleasing. He helps us do that, and we want to live a life pleasing to God. Is that what you guys get that? You understand what being good fruit is? Okay. You know, if we live good, fruitful lives, those things will help us through our life. And so we just need to ask God to help us, you know. So you guys want to pray real quick? Don't hold hands. And I mean, your siblings, you can. You guys, you know, but let's pray like we used to, okay? Does somebody want to volunteer to pray this morning? No? No? Okay. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this great group of kids, Lord. I just ask You to bless them in their life, Lord. Help them to be good fruit, to grow into productive servants of You. Lord, I just praise You. I thank You for them. Lord, bless us today in this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, guys. Go back. Well, yeah. Okay. Amen. Oh, well, I love the kids. I'm glad to see them here this morning. And I know they're missing Sunday school. And I kind of wanted to start trying to do something for the kids, you know, to kind of help them. And every Sunday I'm going to try to continue to do a little lesson that ties in with the message. So I'm glad everybody's here today. I know it's hot outside, but some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shores. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have grown, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown,
I'll fly away. Few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. By and by, I'll fly away.
I'll fly
away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Right. Amen. Do what? We just miss Teddy, don't we?
Yes.
You can't sing that song without missing him. And I wished he could be here with us today. But man, God is good, I tell you. Everybody like that song this morning? Amen. Thank you, Marva. Thank you, Marva. Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin?
Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
You guys take the lead.
Leave behind your regrets. Mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling.
Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Oh, what a Savior!
Isn't He wonderful? Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Bear your cross as you wait for the crown.
Thank you, Lord.
Tell the world of the treasure you found.
Jesus is calling.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Sing it. Oh, what a Savior.
Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 I'm glad for this little bit of a breeze. I do have to clip my papers down because they blow around on me.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord. Lord, and we just praise you. We praise your holy name. Lord, our hearts are hungry for you this morning, Lord. Our hearts are hungry for your word. Our hearts are hungry for your Holy Spirit. Lord, just let your Holy Spirit be here among us today. Let it guide and direct everything said. Lord, we're here to edify you. Lord, we just praise you. We thank you. Lord, bless this church today, Lord, as we sit out here in the hot sun, Lord, but we come here for you, Lord. We come here to praise you, and it doesn't matter whether it's hot. Lord, we just come here to serve you, and we're going to do that however we can, no matter what. So just bless us today, Lord. Bless us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, girls. Thank you. Have you got a song to sing? No? Okay. That's fine. Amen. Amen. Well, again, I'm just so glad to be here today. I just get excited about church, no matter where it's at, whether it's out here in the parking lot or inside in the sanctuary. Man, Sundays, I just look so forward to being here together with you guys, you know, and one accord praising our Lord and Savior, you know. It's just an exciting day. Am I alone in that? Is anybody else just look forward for your Sundays, you know? You know, I have my moments throughout the week. I really do. You know, I'll be studying, something will hit me, you know, and I'm just like, wow, man, that is awesome. You know, the Lord just blesses me. I see things that happen throughout the week. And one thing I want to say that, you know, God has created this world that relies upon the principle of fruitfulness. And that's, I was talking to the kids today, and I wanted to kind of talk to them a little bit, you know, maybe in a silly way about fruit, you know, or being fruitful or what it means. But, you know, this concept, you know, our world relies on people that are fruitful. Our world relies on that, and not just for its survival, not just for its survival, but for its progress. You know, we are a result of human fruitfulness, as in every living human being, and we need fruit in our natural world to eat, drink, and live. We have to have that. We have to have that. And so fruitfulness was God's command to Adam in the scripture. In Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." You know, fruitfulness was God's promise to Noah. In Genesis 8:22, it says, "As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." You know, fruitfulness is God's desire for each disciple. In John 15:8, the Bible says, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." See, so this fruitfulness is part of our, not only our natural world, but also it's how God designed things to be. You know, God's desire for each of His children, the very same thing that we desire for our own children, He seeks maturity, both in terms of our relationships with Him and our relationships with each other. You know, part of that maturity is that, you know, we learn to find a place in the body of Christ just like we expect our children to find a place in society. You know, we want our children to be productive members of society. That's the way the world goes around. And Jesus, you know, He used, you know, there's two illustrations or two parables that He used to discuss this fruitfulness. And the one is about the seed and the sower. It says a parable of the sower. And after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and the village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, and Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Jonah, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, and Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. And while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told them a parable. He said, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. And some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Another seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. And when he said this, he called out, whoever has ears, let them hear. Amen. I've said that before. Whoever has ears this morning, let them hear what the word of the Lord says to them. And so, we find this seed sower, the seed in the sower. And the theme here is the harvest, more than familiar to anyone who lives in the country, earns his living in the fields. But there are fundamental truths that Jesus is teaching that relate not only to how we first respond to Christ for salvation, but how we continue to grow and mature. And that's what I'm talking about this morning, is this maturity. And of course, all this depends on that we, as disciples of Jesus, want to grow and mature and be those who produce, which that's what Jesus' desire is for us, as to become mature and produce. Jesus teaches that the harvest comes as a result of two things. And he points this out in the scripture. The first thing is good seed. And at no point in the scripture does he ever say it's bad seed. He said it's good seed. Every seed that we sow for him is good seed. So it's not an issue with the seed. Okay? So the seed has a tremendous potential when we sow it. Remember that your seed bag that you have, that you carry around, that was given to you the day you got saved, is full of good seed and will never run out of good seed. Amen? So when you go through life, you have this potential. This seed is going to produce good fruit, and there's going to be a great harvest. Jesus is confident in the seed and God that God has planted in you. He has planted that good seed in me, and he expects a good harvest out of it at some point. He expects it to grow. He expects it to mature. He expects it to produce good fruit. Amen? In John 12:24, he says this, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Now, the death that Jesus refers to is the death to himself, or in the death to ourselves. We have to die so that we are willing to produce that which God desires us. That's what he desires from us. In John 12:25, it says, the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. It's part of this process that we go through, a growth, that a seed will die in the ground before it lives again and produces a crop. My wife, she planted a bunch of flowers around the house. And I'm going to talk a little bit about this in a couple places. But in the front of the parsonage, she planted a bunch of marigolds. And she's been, whenever the marigolds die out, she picks off the head of them. She lets them mature. She picks off the head, and then she gathers the seed. She collects the seed. And she's got thousands and thousands of seeds already in this container. And she'll plant those again next year. But the plant had to go through a process. It started out as a little seed, and it grew into a little sprout, and then became a plant, It matured into a plant, developed a fruit, the flower, and then the flower had to die off in order for it to produce more fruit or more flowers. And then the process starts all over again. The same, it's the same way in the kingdom of God here on earth. We are planted, we are seed, we grow, we mature, we produce good fruit so that we can plant more seed. When we die to ourselves and give up the things of this world, listen to me, when we die out and give up the things of this world and give our lives to Christ, we become fruit bearers. And when we die to self, then we can plant seed for the future. Does that make sense? You know, in Matthew 13:8, it says, still other seed fell. Let me back up. The second thing I wanted to talk about is good soil. And Jesus clearly teaches that nutritious soil is vital to growth. You know that. Anybody that's raised a garden, you got to have good soil for plants to grow. You know, you can have the most potent seed. You can have the greatest seed ever, but if it's not planted in good soil, it will not produce. And that's what this parable is all about. Some of it fell on rocky soil. Some of it didn't fall on good soil. It has to be planted in good soil. That's why it's so important for us to live our lives like we should, so that we can be good soil. It's important. It's important for a church as we come together. Not only is there an accountability, and I've been talking about this over the last few weeks, this sense of accountability, not only to ourselves, but to our church. And I want to say that I am just absolutely proud of my church. And I don't say my church like it's just mine only. I say it's my church because I belong to a family of believers who know what it means to be good soil, who know what it means to plant seed, who have a desire to serve. I witnessed that yesterday. Yesterday wasn't about how many bags of groceries that we gave out. It wasn't about how many school supplies that we gave out. What really blessed my heart is to see the eagerness and the willingness and the joy that it brought to the ones who were there that were serving and handing out and delivering groceries in the van. Just this atmosphere of love, that blessed my heart. I went home that whole day. I just could not get it off my mind. I went to bed that way thinking about how blessed I am. I want to thank you guys for that. I know some of you couldn't be here because you had to work. That's okay. I understand. But you gave in other ways. I know that. God knows that. And He will bless you for that. Matthew 13:8 says, still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 130 times what was sown. You know, we all know that good soil doesn't just happen by chance. It requires an effort and a thought. It needs to be plowed to remove the hardness and weeded to remove the enemies of the harvest and watered to enrich its potential and fruitfulness in our lives can be the same way. It can be determined by the amount of attention. Listen to me. The fruitfulness in your life can be determined by the amount of attention that you give to the condition of your life. You know, our spiritual lives, if they're left unattended, will not produce fruit in the way a life that is cared for will. I remember as a kid, you know, we always had a garden or my grandfather had a garden, and at the end of every year we would always go and clean the barns out, you know, and clean the manure out of the stalls, and then we would take that and we would put it on the garden. And it, over a process, it would go through the winter. And then in the spring, we would turn it back over and till it into the ground, and it would make the soil better, more productive. It took work. It took a lot of work to make that soil better. And you know, if you've ever raised vegetables or a garden or flowers or anything, if you don't have good soil, they won't grow well. Not only the good soil, but if you leave them unattended, then things come in and overtake it. If you don't water them, they'll just wither away and die. You know, there are seasons, and wind caught my place here. About got out of place here. In Hosea 10:12, it says, "Sow yourself righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground." I love that. Break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until He comes and showers righteousness on you. I love that. You know, if you want a harvest to flow from your ministry, you need to ensure that your life is right. Your life is fertile soil. The seeds that are sown in you, you need to pay attention to how you live and what influences you, and what you feed your mind on, and what you fill your heart with. We can look at the vine and the branches of any plant. John 15:1-8 says, here is, you know, about the fruit, he says it all. Christ is the vine, and the branches are those by virtue of salvation are joined to Him. Again, here Jesus is saying that the fruit that is produced is a result of two key factors. And the first one is contact. Contact. We have to make contact. He says that if a man remains in me, I am in him, and he will bear much fruit. We have to stay in contact with our Almighty Savior. We have to stay in contact with the Holy Spirit. If we want to bear good fruit, we have to stay in contact. Jesus highlights a lot of things, a lot of problems that is the reason that some people never find fruitfulness in their life that they desire. And He teaches us that independence does not produce good fruit. We can't be separated from God. We have to be connected to the vine. We have to be connected. And that's why it's so important, you know, not only as an individual, we have to stay connected spiritually in our prayer life, but we also stay connected as the body of Christ together. It's important. If a man remains in me, I in him, and he will bear much fruit. John 15:5. I love that scripture. The vine is the source of nourishment. Amen. Jesus Christ is the source of nourishment in our life. A branch out of its own cannot produce a thing. It is our communion and fellowship with Christ, which is the very source and strength that enables us, that enables our ministry, enables our life. I could never be productive if I was disconnected from the vine. I would be wasting my time to stand up here and speak the word to anybody or to witness to anybody if I was not connected to the vine, connected to Jesus Christ in prayer and in fasting. And I'm saying, that's what He's saying to us today. You have to be connected to the vine. You know, Jesus declares Himself, "Apart from me, you cannot do anything. You cannot do anything apart from me." Too many of us have had to learn the hard way. We put out all of our energies. We drain ourselves physically. And are weak and useless sometimes because we have separated ourselves from the vine. We have to stay connected. It doesn't matter what you do, you have to stay connected. You know, we must never forget that without a relationship with God, we have no ministry anyway. We have no ministry. And let me tell you, you say, "Ministry, what are you talking about, Pastor?" I'm saying that each and every one of us have a ministry. Each and every one of you have a ministry in some way, and it's different. Not everybody's going to be the same. But He calls all of us into the ministry as disciples of Jesus Christ. In John 15, He says, "Remain in Me, abide in Me." Jesus warns, you know, of this consequences of His of being independent from Him. "If anyone does not remain in Me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned." In John 15, 6. Wow. That's a powerful statement right there. That's a powerful statement, but it's a reality. People don't want to hear that. You have to remain in Him. I don't want anyone to be thrown in the fire. I don't want anyone. None of my friends, none of my family. Even my neighbors. We have to get them connected to the vine. We have to be good and fruitful servants. We have to be consistent. There is a consistency in our fruitfulness. You know, fruitfulness, like I said before, is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't. It takes time. Just like when I was talking about my wife and she planted flowers, or actually Madison planted these big sunflowers. She planted little seeds all around the back deck. And we didn't know what they were going to grow into. Kind of had an idea. We planted sunflowers in the past before, but we didn't know how they would do. But those sunflowers now have grown and matured into 8-foot tall plants. Big and beautiful. And now they've got big old flowers on them. Beautiful flowers. It didn't happen overnight. There was a process to it. The seeds had to be planted. The soil had to be prepared. The seeds had to be planted. They had to be watered and took care of, and then the plants started to grow. And that process of taking care of them, Leanne would go out every day and water them and pull the weeds and take care of them until they matured out. And now, because of her efforts, they were producing big flowers. We have to be patient. We have to stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near, and I believe that. It's nearer than ever. Every day that goes by, I see that the Lord is coming. I know it. I believe it in my heart. So stand firm, church. You know, there are seasons that dictate the patterns of growth, and each of those seasons are vital to the process of growth. And God is never in a hurry. He is never in a hurry. And we want to be in a hurry, but God is never in a hurry. You know, right now, as I was kind of talking with the kids about right now, it's time to buy peaches, right? And man, I tell you what, fresh peaches are so good. The ones that are really ripe, so sweet. But you know, it takes a process. It takes a season they're in right now. But throughout the whole year, the farmers, the orchards, they've been working on the trees. They've been tending to the soil. They've been spraying for bugs. They've been pruning those branches. They've been taking care and tending to those trees so that this time, for this moment, they could produce fruit. And I'll say that right now, this time, this moment, is a time for someone to produce fruit. It may be your time today. It may be your time this week. It may be your time next week, but there is a time and a season for each and every one of us. You know, when we look at David, when God chose him and anointed him as a little shepherd boy, it wasn't his time yet. There was a process that David went through. He had to grow and mature, and he even found himself. He was anointed and appointed to be the king. But yet, even after taking care of Goliath. He found himself, even after being in the presence of Saul, King Saul, and being in the castle, even after that, he found himself hiding in caves. He had to go through a process before he could ever become king. And I know that sometimes we go through that ourselves. We look at Stephen and Philip in the book of Acts, who were first of all chosen to distribute food to widows and to serve at tables. Doesn't sound like the greatest job in the kingdom, does it? But that's what they were called and chosen to do. But because of their faithfulness, that wasn't where they stayed. Stephen in Acts 6 and 8. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Man. And Philip, we think about Philip in Acts 8, 5 and 6. It says Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed Christ there. And when the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. We all have a process that we go through. Stephen and Philip were at first willing to serve. It's that willingness. They were willing to serve others and were faithful about it. And as a result, God blessed their ministries in miraculous ways, in mighty ways, He blessed their ministries. Don't ever think that the things that you do are too small. If you're doing them for God, they're great big things. They're always big. They may be small in the eyes of the world, but they're not small in God's world. In the parable of the talents, the word says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." You know, I believe that the success of a ministry is less about our efforts and more about our attitudes. And that's why I wanted to mention what happened yesterday at our church right down here. It wasn't all about the effort that we were putting out of handing out the groceries and handing out the school supplies. It was about the attitude of the ones that were there working. It was a great day. It blessed my heart to see that. I went away with such joy in my heart. I didn't even care how many bags of groceries we gave out. I didn't even care about the school supplies. All I was thinking about was the attitude of the ones that came and gave their time and served the Lord, this community. That's you guys. And I know many of you are like that. And I'm proud, again, of my church and my church family and the willingness and the attitude that they have to serve. Thank you all for that. It's not all about energies and enthusiasm and efforts. But as the Apostle Paul said here, it is His power made perfect in our weakness. Not everybody is the same. Not everybody gets excited like I do sometimes. Not everybody, you know, we're all different in our own different ways. But God has chosen each and every one of us to do something for Him. And I know that the seeds that we're sowing today, we'll see a harvest. We'll see a plentiful harvest in our church. Is going to explode one day. It's going to explode because of why? Because the efforts of you guys. The things that you're doing today, you're doing it for God with the right attitude. and the harvest will be plentiful. He says right now, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We may not be a large number, but I tell you what, the harvest will be plentiful if we just keep up the good work. God has something for you. God has something for you. And I want to ask you this morning, will you make your hearts and hands available to Him? Will you make your hands and hearts available to Him? That's all He asks. That's all He asks. It's not any more than that. It's not about how much you can do. It's just about what you will do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You again, Lord, for such a beautiful day. Lord, I thank You for this great group. This great group that have come here on such a hot day just to listen to Your Word. Just to praise You. Just to thank You, Lord, for the blessings that You've given us in our life. Lord, bless these people today. Lord, bless them as we leave here today. We don't leave here without You. We leave here with Your Holy Spirit full in our hearts. Lord, and I ask if there's anyone here this morning that is struggling in their relationship with You, warm their hearts, stir their hearts. Let them hear that knock at the door. Let them hear that knock at the door. And just open it. Just open it. Lord, I thank You again. I praise You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.